It's the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 254. I am your host, Adam Mangum. In this episode, Matt and I discuss Tom Homo's Halloween game, pictures of Bearcats, women's volleyball, and Jimmer. We also preview the Cincinnati game, we overreact to a basketball scrimmage, and then we play Answering Machine. This is the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout Podcast. Get all of your Cougar news at CougarFan.com. Check us out on Facebook at Facebook.com/Rise and Shout. And listen to us right now. CougarFan.com, Rise and Shout Podcast. Matt, how was your Halloween?
Happy Halloween.
Did you dress up this year, or are you continuing to be a Halloween Scrooge?
I'm like the Grinch of Halloween. I'm really just there for the candy. Yes, that's actually exactly what I do.
You just take a heavy tax from your children?
Yes. Yes, yes, I do.
Well, for all the geeks out there, we did DC Comic Heroes this time. A few years ago, we did Marvel, mainly the Avengers, and this time we did some fun stuff. So the baby boy was Batman and I was Robin.
There you go. You're like Mike Greenberg.
Yeah, sure. We're both kind of geeky.
He was Robin last year.
I'm better looking than him.
Actually,
we did have a tweet.
It's all a matter of perspective.
We did have a tweet when I tweeted out, and we'll get to this in a second, my picture with a bear cat. That's right. I did it, folks.
You took a picture with a Benturong?
I did take a picture with a Benturong. But I'm going to have to look up who said it. And he basically said, "This is not what I thought you would look like."
He basically said, "It's going to be distracting now to listen to the show
I know what you really look like." And he, anyway, it was pretty funny because he, Chris Murphy, that's at C Murphy Pro on Twitter. He says, "Previously, I had an image in my mind what you looked like. Going to be strange listening now. Still a devoted fan, emoticon, thumbs up." Chris.
Emoticon. Emoticon? Did you just say emoticon?
Yeah.
It's an emoji.
It's both.
Emoticon's old man speak. I was clearly told that in a meeting the other day.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, millennials out there, for correcting us. Shut up,
I said emoticon, and somebody looked at me weird, and I said, "Well, I can't say emoticon anymore," and they just slowly shook their head. I said, "All right, fine."
No, you keep using emoticon. Tell them to shut up. Yeah. I'm Gen X. I'm just bitter about everything. I don't care about you millennials and your opinions. I'm just kidding.
Your opinions. Fancy haircuts.
And your long, your man buns.
And your ironic beards.
Your glasses that I have no idea why you're wearing them, because you have no problem with your eyes.
And your suspenders and flannel.
And flannel. So anyway, Matt, speaking of Halloween, you tweeted out something that was fantastic, which was Tom Homo dressed as the University of Utah's basketball coach.
Oh, it was awesome.
Now, we don't mention on this podcast the name of the University of Utah basketball coach. He is he who shall not be named. So we have nicknamed him Voldemort from Harry Potter. But we won't say his actual name because we never say it anymore because he's an idiot. Is that too strong to call him an idiot? But he's an idiot, right? I mean, that whole thing of not playing us was idiotic, right?
Yeah, the whole thing about playing us is idiot. The behavior is idiotic. I don't know if I know enough about him to call him an idiot.
Nah,
but I might use terms like loser or clown.
Homo, and you tweeted this out, dressed as Voldemort, and it is – a absolutely phenomenal costume, and you can look at, I tweeted that out on Halloween as well, on the that's at BYU_RiseShout if you want to go check out that. I mean, it's almost, would you call it almost movie ready?
It's amazing. I mean, Tom Homo's Halloween game is on a whole nother level.
Yes. So you sent me some other. What other costumes? He's done some pretty impressive costumes.
The Abraham Lincoln one was pretty good. Yeah. Frankenstein was good. Albert Einstein was pretty good. I think that was one of them one year.
That's good. That's good. So
he's maybe it wasn't Albert Einstein.
So if I've got like a
some great ones,
B minus or B Halloween game, he's got like A. He's at using our zero to Detmer scale, he's Detmer level Halloween, right?
Yeah, he's elite. He's elite Halloween.
Yeah, I'm like Max Hall Halloween.
I don't even turn in a submission.
Oh no, sure you do. We've just stopped naming the bad quarterbacks out of respect for them. You'd just be one of those guys.
Wow.
Hey, buddy. I just call it as I see it. So Matt, I still
eat a lot of candy.
Well, that's good. Okay, all right. So maybe you're not quite there at the bottom. Well, let's jump right into the tweet bag, Matt.
Tweet bag.
On Twitter, that's Todd and D. That's at Todd and D. By the way, I mentioned our Twitter ad handle already. Can we use handle now, or have the millennials said that's dumb too? Can
I use handle? They might have said that one's dumb, but I don't know what the new word is.
Yeah, so I can't throw it in there. So you can also reach us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/riseandshout. And then you can email us. We'll call it snail mail in our modern parlance. You see?
Because it's actually powered by snails.
Yeah, that's right. That's riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. One word. riseandshoutpod@gmail.com.
You know, given our ages, I'm surprised it's not riseandshoutpod@hotmail.com. I mean,
or
seriously?
@AOL.com.
Oh, @AOL.com. Yes.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
You've got mail.
So Todd asks, first, you are now a Detmer level podcast host. Bearcat/Cougar picture equals my Miami game. Matt, is that picture I tweeted out of me with a Bearcat, but also have me with the picture of a cougar, is that my Miami game?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I think it says more. It reflects more on your Twitter game, right? Than your podcastery. So,
see,
I mean, your Miami game. I mean, that's pretty high praise. I think we're overshooting a little bit.
Boston Batman's my Miami game, isn't it?
I think so. I think Boston Batman, the original Boston Batman, the first time you did it when you hadn't really thought it through.
No, when I just did it totally off the cuff.
Yeah, just when it just happened.
Just like Detmer, and the BYU Cougars beat Miami. It just kind of happened. Just kind of happened, Todd. So he has a second question, Matt. He was in Texas, or a comment more than a question, for a conference this week. Torchy's Tacos was as advertised, so thanks to @Matt_Mangum, that's you. So he thanks you for introducing him to Torchy's Tacos.
I love a man who can recognize good food when he eats it. Torchy's Tacos. Do you know how good are they? I think we all know how good they are.
Damn good, right?
No, that's how they advertise it.
But this is PG, so we can't say that. I'll have to edit it out.
Yep. You have to get right on that.
So Matt, this week we had basically a tweet bag. Complete tweet bag from just one person on Facebook, and that's Gary Payne. I'm not going to do his entire questioning, but I'm going to do some of it right here up front.
So instead of the face bag tonight, it's just the pain bag?
It's the pain bag. Oh, yeah. Gary brought his A game to the pain bag.
I mean, so, for a while, we had the tweet bag brought to you by Sweeney, and now we have the pain bag tonight.
Yeah, so well done, Gary. He asks, first up, will WikiLeaks release Bob Bowlsby emails? I hope so. Wouldn't you love to go through his emails? Wouldn't that be fantastic?
I think that would make my eyes bleed. I don't even want to listen to the guy talk anymore, much less read his emails.
But don't you think, because there would be fans that did it, they'd go through and just pick out everything. It'd be
great.
High comedy,
you'd put them in order that they were sent and be like, email one, hey, guys, we should totally expand. Email two, I've been thinking about the expansion thing, maybe not. Email three, guys, we should definitely expand.
Yes.
Email four, yeah, expansion might not be right for us. I'm pretty sure that's kind of how it went down.
Hey, WikiLeaks, get on this. Yeah, I'm sure some of the WikiLeaks folks listen to this podcast. There's no doubt.
Well, I think starting next week, those guys are going to have a lot less to do. So
yeah.
Maybe they can get on Bob Bowlsby's emails.
Yeah. So he probably
has them on his own server or something.
Yeah, they've been deleted. Two episodes ago, he asked, who is Jesse? Now, I think Gary might be a little older than you and I. He asks if it's Rick Springfield's Jesse. I'm talking about Jesse's girl.
Oh, look what you did, Gary. You made Adam sing on the podcast again.
What can I find a woman like that? No, we're talking about Jesse. What was her last name on the show?
Spano. Jesse Spano.
Jesse Spano from Saved by the Bell and the infamous episode where she was taking uppers. Speed.
She was taking caffeine pills.
No, she wasn't. Was she really?
Yes, it was caffeine pills to help her stay up and study.
Then why the heck was she acting like she was like high?
Her body was a little more sensitive to caffeine than say, me or you. I drink a Mountain Dew and it puts me right to sleep.
Yeah, that doesn't even make any sense.
I don't know.
You just ruined that episode for me.
I don't understand. I'd have to go back and see what it was she was taking. I mean, it might have been like, I thought it was like No-Dos or something, but you know, it could have been Lemon Heads. I don't remember. You know, that was a long time ago. It was a long time ago, you know?
Lemon Heads. That, you know, you do have some good one-liners on occasion, Matt, and that's one of them.
You know what? Nobody gave any of my kids Lemon Heads for Halloween. Someone needs to figure that out.
Do those?
Yes. Yes, they do. I hear you Googling it. They do. You don't need to Google it. I'm telling you they do. I just had some a few weeks ago.
No, I was actually writing down that I might use your little Lemon Heads bit for our intro.
Oh, okay.
Take that, buddy.
I will take that.
So his last, not his last one, because Gary will make an appearance later in the show, but he asked, from last episode, Matt's sound effects are spot on. He's buttering you up for some reason. At least one person likes your sound effects.
He recognizes greatness.
Yeah, that's fine. Something like that. And we all think it's a recording. Oh, that's good. So some people think that your sound effects are recording. He asks, and we've been asked this before, but I don't know if I've ever addressed it. How does the closing music get selected? He wants to request AC/DC or Rick Springfield, which
I think we all know what's coming this week.
I'm not making any promises, but I will say this. It is usually music I own. Sometimes I tie it into whatever we were talking about. Other times it's just randomly I'm scrolling through my library of music and I just attach something. So it's sometimes strategic. If you've been around for a while, we had 2 years ago, we did all of our episodes tied to a year and the song was a top 10 song from that year. We have not done anything nearly as complicated as that. So Matt, without further delay, let's go to the CougarFan.com. Cougars in the news.
Cougars in the news.
Yeah, that wasn't your best.
Voice cracked. Did your voice crack? It was Gary put all sorts of pressure on me. Yeah, my voice cracked.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there was also some distortion on my end too, so I don't know if that will come out or not on the recording.
That was awful.
So get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. Matt, women's soccer ranked fourth in the land now? Fifth in the land? They beat St. Mary's and Pacific by identical scores of 4-0. We like to call that in soccer language a blowout. Another couple of shutouts for the Cougars. They're now 15-2-1, 6-1-1 in conference. I think it's their last conference game is coming up back home in Provo on Friday or Saturday. I didn't write that down. Against Gonzaga, who's 6-9-2, just 2-6 in conference. So expect another blowout, Matt.
I've got the Lady Cougars ranked number 7.
7? Oh, because I looked this up. No, 7? No.
That's what I'm getting on NCAA.com/ranking/soccer-women/1.
What the NCAA says, corrupt institution. Women's volleyball, I think, ranked 14th, but you'll correct me if I'm wrong. They moved up. They beat number 5 San Diego in straight sets. Amy Boswell had 14 kills. A freshman, McKenna Miller, had 13 kills. They improved to 20-3, 9-2 in conference. They have two road contests coming up at Pacific, whom they swept earlier this year, though Pacific is decent. They're 14-10. And then at St. Mary's, BYU swept them at the Smith Fieldhouse earlier this year. St. Mary's not as good, 10-13. Women's basketball, Matt, they were picked second by the media to finish second in the WCC. So we'll start seeing some of their news and their games trickle through this report as we go forward. Matt, the next segment is BYU Cougars in the Pros. with the first pick in the NFL draft.
Boo.
The Minnesota Vikings select.
Sit down, Goodell.
How about Minnesota? I mean, I live in Minnesota. I'm actually, what? We're doing this.
Yeah, what happened?
What happened
I mean,
the Vikings? They went from
seriously.
From wow, they could be a Super Bowl contender to now all the headlines are, will they make the playoffs? That was a
Sam Bradford. Sam time. Bradford happened to the Vikings,
yeah,
Adam.
Yeah, Sam Bradford. We forgot that he's not a good quarterback. Matt Ziggy had one tackle for Detroit this past weekend, played in 72% of the snaps. I didn't see any of the game, but the reports are he is not moving since he came back from injury quite like he has last year or earlier this year. Kyle Van Noy, of course, traded to the Patriots. He did not play for the Patriots. They did trade Jamie Collins. I think not that Kyle Van Noy was the reason, but I would expect at some point this year that Kyle Van Noy will have at least a substantial role with the Patriots, if not a starting role, but definitely will be in as the season goes on. Daniel Sorensen follows up. You know, he's had a couple of good weeks. He played on 71% of the defensive snaps for the Kansas City Chiefs. In non-NFL news, Jimmer made his China League debut a few days ago and scored 42 points.
Hey, is there somebody out there who can find out or verify for us whether or not that Shanghai Sharks alliteration works in Chinese? Shanghai I mean, seriously, Sharks. I don't even know how to look that up.
There's got to be a listener that did Chinese like in Taiwan for their mission, right? Hong Kong missionary?
Somebody, come on.
Email us. Tweet at
I'm
us.
I'm sure that it doesn't, but I'd love to know how to say it.
Yeah,
I guess I could go to Google Translate or whatever, but I'll jack it up if I do that.
17 of 25 shooting for Jimmer, 5 for 8 from behind the arc. He had 3 steals and a couple of rebounds as well. I think we're going to see a lot of stat lines like this for Jimmer in that league, which I mean, again, is exciting for him. Anything else from the Cougars in the news?
I don't have anything to add.
I don't have anything else. So, Matt, let's jump right into previewing the upcoming game against the Cincinnati Bearcats. I, of course...
Cincinnati fighting Binturongs.
I, of course, did go to the Minnesota Zoo and get a picture with a Binturong. I asked the zoo staff how close I could get, and they said, right where you're standing, sir. That's as close as you can get outside the cage, so... They wouldn't
well,
let
it was
me.
Nice. It was nice if you'd ask. I'd hate for you to get arrested while taking your picture with the Binturong.
Well, I thought about climbing in, but I was there with my 4 daughters, just me. And
oh,
I thought
they
if
don't
I
have
go,
a ride home.
Yeah,
that just
I mean, how are they going to get home? And you know, how will my wife, frown on Child Protective Services calling because I got arrested while trying to take a picture with a wild animal?
Let's just be honest. If she would have been surprised, that would have been her fault.
So, Matt, the biggest news coming out about this Cincinnati game is that yesterday Coach Solani Satake, I was reversing
wow.
that, Solani Satake.
Are you new here?
Well, I mean, I'm not saying it like a mushroom. So
hey, what's wrong? What's
I
up with
know.
That?
I don't
Why
know.
Can't people just pronounce names correctly? It's not hard.
Just ask. You know, call the BYU media people up and ask. You know, it's not that hard. He announced that Jamal Williams should be good to go. Matt, how excited are you for that?
Oh, how could you not be excited?
Yeah, that is 100% correct. That was it's not the same offense with him not in it. Captain Obvious statement, of course, but.
Well, I don't think, you know, who wants to go in and face the Binturongs without Jamal Hill?
Jamal
did
Hill?
I just say Jamal Hill?
Yes, you did.
I was looking at a picture of Taysom Hill when I said that. I apologize.
You've combined.
I had a news story pulled up here that had Taysom Hill on it.
You combined.
Sorry, everybody. That was weird.
My chances of me editing that out, 0.
I understand that. That's why I apologize.
Yeah, I'm not editing that out. So, Matt, right now, Jamal Williams' 2016 season, he is at, let me find his total. Where's his total yards here? You think I would have pulled this up?
Come on.
Where are we? Why can't I find this?
I don't know where I am.
Where am I? What is going on here? What on earth is going on? So he needs to break the Luke Staley record. The Luke Staley record is 1582. He's at 965, Matt. He needs 600 yards, give or take, to do that. Matt, percent chance he breaks that record. Did he get
this
600
weekend?
Yards? No, not this weekend.
The binturongs, I don't know.
They're not great, but that seems a little much.
600 yards seems a little high.
Yeah.
Oh, he'll break the record? Is that still in question? Are people still wondering about that?
Come 600 on. Yards in four games isn't a given.
Have you seen the man?
Yes, and I've also seen the schedule, so maybe it is a given. But he needs 640 yards to break that. So
the only thing that would stop him is he doesn't get a complete game in here, either by virtue of injury or blowout.
Well, even in a blowout like SUU, he's probably going to get 100 yards just carrying the ball nine times, right?
You think it'll take him nine carries?
Okay.
You think our field position will be that good?
I'm trying to be nice. I'm trying to be nice to SUU. So I think he breaks it. So let's get to know the Bearcats a little bit, Matt. Football Outsiders has them ranked as the 74th best team in the country. Some other computer rankings are not so kind. Football Outsiders has their offense ranked as the 81st best offense in all the land. Their defense,
they're better than somebody.
They're better than somebody, but they are in that bottom third. And their defense ranked 59th. So offensive players to watch, we'd like to give you somebody to watch on their offense. My advice would be don't watch anybody on their offense. Just watch our defense. They're terrible. Their offense is absolutely – they've had injuries to their quarterback and others. Their offense is abysmal. I think that 81 ranking is probably by the end of the year, I think we'll see it in the 90s. On defense, they have a few good players. Senior linebacker Eric Wilson leads the team. He's got 88 tackles, 6 for loss, and 3 sacks. He'll be the one that BYU's offense will need to eliminate at least a lot of what he's capable of, speed and size to wreak some havoc. So that's one guy to watch out for. So Matt, they are 4-4 this year, same record as BYU. But let's not say that they're the same. Okay.
Yeah, same record is a little bit of a misleading statement there, right?
Yes. Four victories are against Tennessee Martin, Purdue.
Fine institution.
Fine institution for academics, not so much for football. Miami of Ohio, who's not in the top 100, and East Carolina. Their signature win is probably Purdue.
Yeah, that's not a good look.
Now, they have lost to some good teams. They got pounded by Houston. They got pounded by South Florida, who's decent. They also lost to UConn, who is not decent, and lost to an okay Temple team. So I think, you look at that and you say to yourself, this is not a good team.
Yeah.
This isn't a good team. So let me get to a tweet back question. Joel Everett on Twitter, that's at JEverett11. He asked, does BYU come out strong after the bye, or are we in for another nail-biter? Matt? Before we get to predictions, but just answer his question, if you will.
I think we're not going to be in the nail-biter category here.
No, we are not going to be in the nail-biter category. This is a bad team, and if we are close, then we have played probably our worst game of the season.
Or catastrophic injuries.
Or catastrophic injuries, sure. We are favored by 9. Matt, are you taking BYU or are you taking the points there?
I'm going to go, you know what? And I know I said I wasn't going to do this all year, but I'm going to go ahead and take BYU to cover that.
Yes. Wait a second. You've said that every year, every time. No, because of the close games. That's right.
That's right. This year was my never take anybody to cover the spread in a BYU game year. But I'm going to go ahead and break that rule for this game.
All right.
And this may not be the last time I do that.
The over-under is 57.5 points, Matt. Are you going over or under on 57.5
points? 57.5
points. I'm going over just slightly.
Darling. I'm taking the under.
All right. Now, these I left blank because I don't like you to be able to see them, you big cheater. Over-under, Jamal Williams, 145 yards.
Jamal Williams, 145 yards. I'm taking the over.
I'm also taking the over.
I can't believe you just throw these on me. You just throw them on me.
Well, it's only fun if I do that.
All right, that's cool.
Which, by the way, if he doesn't, 160 is, I think, what he'll need to average from here on out. So even a nice day of 145 still doesn't. Well, I'm not factoring the bowl game, though. He has five games to do this.
Yeah, it's over. He's getting
it. Oh, it's totally over. Why didn't I factor in the bowl game? I'm a dummy. Taysom,
because you're a loser.
Taysom Hill passing yards, 252. Over or under?
I'm going over.
So I am going under, Matt. I just think we're going to run all over these guys. Yes. And I think Taysom Hill will have a good passing day. I just don't think it will be a massive I just don't think it'll be a massive day from a yardage standpoint. But I think BYU has a lot of yards. Matt, over under 275 total yards for the Cincinnati offense, the terrible Cincinnati offense.
I'm going to go ahead and say over.
I'm going to say over, but just slightly, and I think at halftime they have less than 120. And I think they end up getting some yards at the end with what is not going to be a close game. So, Matt, prediction time. I think we've both got the Cougars, but I'd love to hear your reasoning and et cetera, et cetera.
So I don't see this game as ever being particularly close all the way through. I think that all phases of the offense are going to be effective here. I think that overall defensively, we're going to be able to hold them at bay for most of the game. Maybe give up some points late. I think they may move the ball a little bit. You know, looking at their schedule, I mean they score some points sometimes.
Their offense is terrible.
Yeah, but you know they've put up some points.
Not since their quarterback got hurt. They're not putting up any points. Yeah, they're going to put up points late. They're not going to score much against our first team defense. And I'm not saying our first team defense is the best in the world or anything. I just don't see it. But go ahead. Sorry, I'm interrupting.
I think they might get some scores in late. But I see this game landing in somewhere around a 35-21 BYU victory.
I'm going to say higher. I'm going to say 41-16.
Wow.
This is not a good team. Cincinnati is not a good team. I get that it's on the road and all that stuff. I don't think it matters. I think BYU will be well-rested, will be healthy. Cincinnati will not be. They're coming off a tough loss, and I think they're not going to be able to stop Jamal. I think their offense has struggled to get the ball in the first three quarters past the 50-yard line. I think they will score late and put up some yards in the fourth quarter when the game is well out of reach. So that's my prediction.
Well, there you have it.
By the way, I did my math wrong earlier. I'm taking the under at 57.5 points because that's 57.
So yeah, exactly 57.
Exactly 57. So there you go, Adam.
I've made that mistake before. That's why I stalled this time.
Yeah, you were
didn't want to do that one again.
So Matt, looking forward past the Cincinnati game, because the players can't do that because they got to stay focused. You and I, we can do that.
We sure can.
We do it all the time. We of course think BYU is going to win the last four games. You're still on board with that, right?
I don't know. Yes.
Yeah, it's this may be the toughest game left on the schedule. So, and you can see how we think about that. So we got some tweet back questions on this one. James Lowe on Facebook asks us, over the next four games, is the BYU offense more likely to rush for 300 yards or pass for 300 yards in any given game? Matt, that's a fascinating one. Would you pick rush for 300 or pass for 300? What's more likely?
I'm going to take rushing yards for 300, Alex.
I'm going to take passing just because it's easier to get there. But both could happen.
That's a lot of 12-yard passes.
see what you did there. I think they could both happen in against SUU. So,
yeah, that's true.
So, but excellent question, James. So Todd,
but I think overall, if I take his question, I look overall at any of those games. If I were just, you know, and if you're telling me I have to say, are we more likely to rush or pass for 300 plus yards, and I'm going to draw one of those games out of a hat, I'm sticking with rushing.
Yeah. Yeah, that is absolutely fair. Todd, that's at ToddND, his third appearance today in the tweet bag. He says third, because it was his third question, what does BYU have to do to get ranked by the end of the season? Blowouts, just win? Hashtag tweet bag. Matt, do you think BYU, if they win out, which we think they will be ranked going into the bowl game?
I don't think there's anything BYU can do at this point to get ranked. I think their opportunities to get ranked have already passed.
Stop it. Stop it. Four losses doesn't necessarily keep you out of the top 25. I don't think it's likely, but I think it's possible.
Well, I don't know that four losses by itself keeps you out of the top 25. But I think what keeps you out of the top 25 is you look at the schedule and you look at what are the wins here? And, you know, there's some good losses. You know, I'm going to put air quotes around that. But what are the wins? I don't know that there's a grouping of wins in here that puts you in that group.
Toledo's now, if you a good win.
Yeah, okay, maybe.
It's not maybe a good win. They're a top 40 team. Okay. It's a good win. You're right.
Okay. You had a win against a top 40 team, but I don't know if that's your best win, that's not going to put you in the top 25.
By itself, you're right.
I think you had to beat one of these other teams in order to achieve that. And
yeah, and that UCLA loss is looking worse. Now, I think UCLA might have been a better team when we played them than they are today due to injury and other factors, but that doesn't really matter, right? In the end, you're just judged against what they did. And obviously that Boise State loss does not look as good now as it even did a week ago.
Awkward.
Oh, my gosh.
Wyoming?
Yeah.
See, like, for me, looking at that game, it was like, there are no winners here.
What are you talking about? The 18,000 fans that were there to watch the game in Wyoming, weren't they winners?
Is that like the entire population of Laramie?
That's right. They have to wake up the next morning still in Laramie. So
you're still there.
Probably.
I don't know which thing I hate more. I don't know what I hate more. Do I hate Boise State's blue turf or the color of Wyoming's end zones? I don't know which is worse.
Everything about Wyoming's worse. Not the state, the university. I don't know.
I really don't like the blue turf. Yeah, I really don't like the blue turf.
I know you hate the Smurf turf. You hate it like I hate San Diego State.
Whatever.
So Matt Gary makes his last appearance in the tweet bag. He asks, who would be your surprise contributor on both sides of the ball at this point in the season? On defense, Matt, the answer for me is easy. It's Butch Powell.
Yes.
Because I thought he'd be a contributor. I didn't think he'd be what he has been. So that's it. Do you feel the same on defense?
Yeah, if you go back to the beginning of the season, you know what I mean, and then and take my brain then and now, the only thing different is what I've seen out of Butch Powell. There was a joke in there somewhere, and I let it go. It escaped.
So on offense, Matt, who's your – is there a surprise contributor?
I'm looking to the receiving core maybe for that, but start thinking maybe tight ends.
Tight ends.
Into that space. You look at Baldery and you think, okay, yeah, there's something I might not have been expecting.
Yeah, I didn't expect so much out of Jamal Williams. Just kidding.
Stop it.
I'm going to say the left side of the offensive line, Matt. I think they have improved week over week. Yes, they've had some rough spots, but I'd say – you know, on some of Jamal's big rushing days, there were some – I mean, Jamal makes great cuts and he's got excellent vision, but there were some big holes too. So I'm going to go with the left side of the offensive line. How's that?
I like that.
Yeah, you like that. So, Matt, the college football rankings came out for the college football playoff. Alabama, Clemson, Michigan, and Texas A&M. 1 through 4, a little bit of surprise with Texas A&M spot over undefeated Pac-12 leader Washington. So Matt, did they get the rankings right?
Nope.
They did not. They whiffed in their first week. How can you put a one-loss Texas A&M team over an undefeated Washington team?
I think I know how, because you're silly.
Well, the one loss is to Alabama. right? So the counter argument is, well, they lost to Alabama, and Alabama's good. The other flip side of this is, besides Alabama, name another great team they've played this year.
Mm.
I'll wait for it, because there isn't one. Texas A&M's schedule is not as good as it looks, just because they're in the SEC.
And I think one thing we're learning about the college football playoff ranking system is that these early couple of weeks, they're focused so hard on looking at the team's resume to date and not where they think this will actually shake out. You know, they really emphasize that point.
Yeah,
so I think that's
Washington's
part of what
got
we're
a
seeing.
Better resume. They've beat Utah
agree.
In Salt Lake.
I agree, but I think they are erring on the side. No, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying I believe they are erring on the side of, let's not take Washington just because we think that they're going to be the better team in the end. Maybe we need to take a closer look at Texas A&M and let them fall out, because they will eventually. You know, Washington's going to – I think Washington ends up going.
So that's the interesting question, Matt. At the end of the day, Alabama, we think, is in the college football playoff. I think Clemson is in the college football playoff. And I think after that it gets a little murky, because Michigan has a tough road. Texas A&M has a tougher road. Washington, maybe. So who are your picks? Who do you think is there at the end besides Alabama and Clemson? And you can disagree with those two. I think at this point you have to give them spots based on both what they've done so far and what their schedule looks like ahead.
Yeah, I agree with those first two, absolutely. I think you got Alabama and Clemson. I also think that I also think Michigan's in. I think Michigan's going to pull this out, and Michigan goes. Really, the only change I would make here is I would put Washington in. I'd swap them out for Texas A&M. Texas A&M, I don't even know if they finished top 10 on this list, but I definitely don't think they're going to go to the playoff. I think you're looking at Alabama, Clemson, Michigan, and Washington.
Mm, yeah, I look at this, and so I look at the Southeast Conference, right? AKA the SEC.
SEC, right? SEC.
So they are not going to play in the championship game, right? Unless Alabama has some massive collapse in the last few weeks, okay? Their loss at Alabama keeps them out of the SEC championship game. I don't see how on this planet an undefeated Washington team, you can, as a Pac-12 champion, you can put a team that didn't have to play in their championship game and get that one more win. I agree with you. I think in the end, Washington's resume will trump that. Obviously, you know, the Pac-12, they still have to do that, though, right? So there is a possibility that if Texas A&M does not lose another game, and Washington does, and they will. Who are they going to play though in the championship game? Colorado, Utah again.
Yeah,
you know, and obviously Washington still has their rivalry game to do with a Washington State team that is not bad.
No, I mean they're ranked, right? I mean, but that if you look at the remaining schedule, I think that's the game
that's really
in question.
Yeah, that's the game
and,
that's in question.
You know, if you think about a conference championship game, you know, maybe something happens in there. Maybe they get in there and they drop that.
And make the championship game. By the way, depending on what Washington State does the rest of the year, but. Obviously,
yeah, I mean that Utah game was close. It was, you know,
Utah's a good team.
It was within reach. So,
yeah, so I don't know. This will be interesting to see, Matt. Well, let's move to men's basketball, specifically BYU men's basketball. So they had an exhibition game against, I don't know who was it? Seattle Pacific? Is that who it was?
Yeah, Bo Diddley Tech.
So, Matt, this is the part of the podcast where we wildly overreact to statistics from a meaningless exhibition game.
I love this part. Love it.
So, Matt, tell me right now, overreaction, proper reaction, or underreaction? Okay, are you ready?
I'm excited about this.
All right. Eric Mika is a candidate for best big man in the U.S. this year.
He's probably going to win the Naismith Award.
Yeah, well, I thought that was maybe a little too much, even for this segment. So let me rephrase.
I take that. Did I go a little over the top there?
Best big man in the WCC. Overreaction, proper reaction, or underreaction?
I think that's a possibility.
I think it's a little overreaction, but it's possible. Nick Emery, All-American.
I think you were reaching here a little bit.
I think I'm reaching there too, but he did
slow your roll a little, okay?
He did look good. TJ,
what did he end with? 21 points there.
21 points on 9 of 17 shooting. He's going to take a lot of shots, Matt, this year. He's going to take a lot of shots.
Yes. Spoiler alert. He shoots a lot.
He's going to shoot a lot. TJ Haws leads the BYU basketball team in assists. I think that's underreaction. That's like obvious at this point.
Yeah, I think that's actually may be the case.
Kyle Davis. No, that's not the one I want. Childs ends up averaging only 10 minutes a game because he can't stay out of foul trouble.
I think you're overreacting there.
You think I'm overreacting? I think big man
foul trouble is going to continue to be a little bit of an issue. But that seems like you're kind of taking it to the extreme.
Five fouls, fouls out in just 9 minutes of play. Though he did also score 6 points in 9 minutes, which is also pretty good. But he's got he could take the Nate Austin Award for this year. That role of how many fouls can you commit? And obviously Brandon Davies is also on that all foul committing team.
The all foul team. That's
the all
nice
foul team. You know, these are some good players. Ned Austin wasn't bad, and obviously Brandon Davies was fantastic. So, Matt, is there anything we can meaningfully take away from this game?
Nope. No, actually, that's not entirely true. Yeah, there is. This is a fun team to watch.
Yeah, this will be a fun team to watch. There's no doubt. No doubt. They're going to score points. They're going to get up and down, and they're going to get the ball inside and out.
Yep.
Right.
And while big man foul trouble might be something we still deal with in this season, I think the overall production from the big men is going to be a very welcome addition.
Absolutely agreed. Mika is. It's great to have him back on the team. It's great to have him back on the team. So Matt, captains were named by Coach Rose. It's seniors Kyle Davis and LJ Rose and sophomore Nick Emery. Now, Kyle Davis is not a surprise. He's a senior. He's played. He's got good experience, and I'm not shocked to see that. Nick Emery, though only a sophomore, I wasn't shocked by that either. Newcomer LJ Rose, the transfer, I was a little, I guess not shocked, but were you surprised on that one?
Yeah, I think that is surprising, you know. But it speaks a little bit, at least, to the way the coaching staff feels about him and his contribution.
Yeah, he's an experienced player and all those things.
Yeah, and when you look at it, you know, some of the things that the team has done, some of the stuff around media day and things that got posted and stuff. I mean, he seems to be a guy that the other players respect and get along with, I think Rose sees him as a real contributor to the team and. On one side, yeah, it's just a little bit surprising, but at the same time, I'm not shocked.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not shocked, but was a little surprised. Matt, BYU was picked by the press to be third in the WCC. No shocker there, right? Gonzaga, St. Mary's, BYU.
Right.
And does it really matter what they ranked everybody else?
Did they bother to do that?
They did. They did.
I stopped reading at that point.
It goes Pepperdine, Santa Clara, LMU, Pacific, Portland, San Francisco, and San Diego.
I thought it was just going to be, everybody, it'll be these three schools and then everybody else.
So once again, I'm going to get annoyed. They named to their first team, all preseason team, 10 players. They know that you only get 5 at a time, right?
No, well, you get 5 on each side of the ball. Wait a minute. That's not right.
Wait a second. No, actually, it's more than 5, isn't it? Is this 11? Are there 11 players on this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Trying to get the story up here while I can.
Just 10. Nick Emery and Eric Mika made the list, Matt. Also on this list, of course, is Brownridge out of Santa Clara, Karnowski out of Gonzaga, no surprise there. Murray out of Pepperdine. Emmett Nahr out of St. Mary's. Josh Perkins from Gonzaga, only a sophomore. He was one of three sophomores on the list, Nick Emery and Eric Mika being the other two. Dane Penau out of St. Mary's. Rayon? I forget how you pronounce that dude's name.
Apparently, it doesn't matter. If it's not your school, you pronounce it however you want.
That's right. Alec Wintering out of Portland, also a senior on that team. A very guard-heavy team, by the way, though obviously Karnowski and Mika are the class of the big men in
the what kind of offense is this team going to run?
They're just going to be chucking it up and running up and down and just let Karnowski and Mika clean up the boards.
I love these lists.
But anyway, no big shock there, right, that these were the only two BYU players on the list. There's no BYU snub.
Oh, no. I mean, look, you're naming 10 guys, big conference. You got to get somebody from Portland on there. And so there's only so many slots to go around.
Wait a second. Do they have a player from every team? Is this like the Major League All-Star team? No, because there's nobody from San Diego. No.
Yeah, they'd have to expand it to be on 10.
You'd have to restrict, like, we can only have one per team or something.
Yeah, it'd be like gymnastics in the Olympics for the all-around. Well,
yeah, let's not have the best players compete.
We can only take two. Sorry, everybody.
Two from that team. We're going to let this girl from Kazakhstan in because she was first on her team.
We would hate for the three best ones to win all three medals.
Yeah, that would be stupid. Who wants to see the best compete at the highest levels?
Nobody wants to see that. That's not what our sponsors were looking for when they signed up here.
That's right. So, Matt, we're going to do we've got some time, and we've got the interest. I think we should do a little bit of answering machine.
Oh, boy.
So I'm not even going to explain how this works because me explaining it does not help at all. So, Matt, who do you want to call or do you want to be called?
I'm not sure what I'm picking. why don't I call first?
Okay.
Yeah.
You call.
Yeah.
Dial away, buddy.
All right. Here we go.
Dial away.
Boop, 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 boop. Ring, ring.
Hello.
Ring, ring. Oh.
We can't even do this right. Sorry, mine goes straight. This goes straight to voicemail. All right, try again. Ring.
Wait, you're screening my call? Your person is screening my call? They're going to send me straight to voicemail? I'm not even going to do a ringing sound this time.
All right.
But apparently I'm still going to do a beeping noise as if that's how phones still work. Beep, beep, beep. Beep, 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 beep. Send.
Hello. You've reached the voicemail of Voldemort, head basketball coach at the University of Utah. I am trying to still find the boy who lived and kill him. When I'm not doing that, I'm canceling games with our rivals because I'm worried about the safety of our players. Leave me a message, and I promise not to kill you. Beep.
Well, I appreciate your promise there at the end, Coach. Wasn't really worried about you killing me, seeing as that you won't even show up to play my favorite college basketball team. Hey, just wanted to remind you all of your excuses for canceling that series are lame. All right? Good luck to you and your basketball team. And to be honest, I'm kind of over it. Don't really need to play you anymore. So, that's really all I've got. But what I do is I leave awkward messages. So I'm just going to throw on a little bit here at the end, and I'll talk to you later. Bye. I don't even know what to say to this guy. I don't even know what to say to him.
Yeah,
right?
That was just terrible.
There's a part of me that's like, you know, I'm over this, right? It's stupid. It's lame. But let's just all move on. They don't want to play us. They don't want to play us.
Well, great. They are going to
play somebody else.
Of course they're going to
play us. Let's just go play somebody else.
Yeah. So the killing curse, Matt, just in case you're curious, is the Avada Kedavra curse in Harry Potter. So that's what he would use to try to kill you.
Still haven't seen or read any of those. I'm not sure what you're saying.
Kedavra.
I don't know what you're talking about. It's like abracadabra.
No, it's not abra. It's not abracadabra. That's not it.
Adabra Kedavra.
Yeah, whatever. All right.
Yeah, whatever it is you're saying. But anyway, all right, why don't you dial me? Because I'm going to keep talking about this thing that I don't really care about.
Yeah. All right. Beep, boop, beep, 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 boop, beep, boop. Ring, ring.
Hello, you've reached the voicemail of BYU head football coach Kalani Sitake. I just wanted to remind you, I still like the decision to go for it on 4th and 19. If we're going to practice it, then we ought to do it every once in a while. I like to take risks, and you guys need to all just get used to it. Anyway, leave a message if you want to, but if you don't want to, I really don't care. I'm still going to do what I do. Thanks. Beep.
So I got this number. I wasn't sure who it's for. I think you were in one of James the Mormon's videos, is what I heard. I'm just kidding, Coach. We just wanted to call and tell you that you're doing a fantastic job. 4-4, I'm sure you and your players are disappointed with the overall results. But it's been a fun team to watch. I believe I've lost about 6 months off of my life with all of these close games. But they weren't going to be that great months anyway at the end. So it was totally worth it. I'm very excited about the future. I'm excited about the energy and passion you bring to this program. And good luck this week against the Benterungs. I took a picture of one of those things at the zoo, and they don't really look that fierce. I think you guys can take them down. Well, anyway, to avoid leaving really long, awkward messages like my brother, I'm just going to sign off. Thanks. Bye-bye.
So here's my question for you, right? So he's cool. He's still in. He's still on in on the fake punt on 4th and 19.
No, he's not.
And oh yeah, he is.
No, he's
well, publicly
saying
he is.
Yes, he's saying he's not actually in. I really hope that's true, because I never want to see that again.
But do you like the image he's pushing? We're going to take some risks. We're going to push the envelope. We're going to do some things that might make people a little uncomfortable, and we're going to really go out there and go for it. Do you like that, or would you like it to be a little more conservative?
I hate conservative. So I want – that was not a political statement, by the way. All right. I don't – 4th and 1, I think you as a team, unless your offense is terrible – you should go for every one of those. I don't really care where you're on the field. You could be on your own 25. I say you go for it, right? 4th and 19, having your punter try to run for a first down from your own end zone, that's just stupid, right? Like I'm all for aggressive football, blitzing, going for it on 4th down, taking deep shots down the field, trying to push the other team, and a lot of times – play the odds, really, right? Because 4th and 1, you know, you've got a very good chance of, especially with the two, with Taysom Hill and Jamal Williams, you got a very good chance of making that, right?
Yep.
So, no, I love the aggressive attitude. The thing is, occasionally you're going to get a game time decision where the circumstances aren't exactly what they drew up, and they're going to make the wrong decision. Occasionally that's going to happen. That's just a heat of the moment thing, and you're going to have to live and die by the sword, if you will, of the aggressive. What do you think?
I like the aggressiveness. I still don't love going for it in that particular situation, but I'm with you. I think I'd love to see him go for it on 4th down every now and again. You know, maybe not every time on 4th and 1. I don't know if I'm quite into that space yet, but the, you know, and even at the same time, you go back like the decision to go for 2 in the Utah game, right? Which
I have no problem with.
Generated a lot of conversation. I don't know that I would have done it, but I absolutely understand why they did, and I don't fault them for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So, I mean, I like the attitude. I like that we're going to go out there and take it, and we're going to do things that are a little bit unpredictable, and we're going to play the numbers a little bit and try and go big in some, especially in these games, you know, on the road or whatever you're doing. I mean, I like the attitude. I like how that feels. I like what I think it generates for the players and the way that they play and approach games. So I like the feeling of it. But you know, every once in a while, you're gonna get something like that, and we're just gonna have to deal with that as a fan base. Because I mean, how can you not love this guy? How can you not love this guy?
Yeah, the enthusiasm, the passion. We finally have somebody that's arguing with officials over terrible calls.
Oh, it's awesome. This stuff is awesome.
I absolutely love it. So, Matt, this next week, we will, of course, be recapping Cincinnati and previewing. Is there a game the week after that? It's another bye week, isn't it?
I'm playing somebody. Is there teams still out there to play? Is that how this works? Scrimmages or something?
There's some type of scrimmage. But we'll be there to preview the upcoming games as well. We'll also, of course, have, I'm sure, more to talk about with men's basketball. Matt, I would like to say this. We have, I think we should keep this tradition of coming up with a ridiculous hashtag to see who actually finished the program.
There have been some good ones.
This is the one I would like to propose. I'd love your thoughts. Hashtag Rise Shout Lemonheads.
All right, let's see what we get.
Hashtag
besides,
Rise
besides some
Shout
delicious candy.
Lemonheads. One word. Not Rise and Shout. Rise Shout Lemonheads. Only credit if you do it correctly. Obviously, so next week, I don't know if we're going to record on Monday. Should we record on Tuesday just so we don't have to pay attention to the presidential election?
Were you planning on paying attention to that?
I don't know. It's like a train wreck.
I've already done my part. I'm done.
Did you vote?
I'd like to just not think about it. Yeah, I did.
Oh, is this appropriate for me to ask you who you voted for on the podcast? It's probably inappropriate.
You can ask me whatever you want, but I'm not going to get into it here.
Yeah, big baby. I've already told you I'm writing myself in. I'm old enough. Just saying.
That's true. You are. So old.
I know. I could be president of the United States, and as we've seen today, pretty much anyone can be president of the United States. So
anybody
it's not
can
that
run.
Hard anymore. It's not that hard. Well, we'll be back next week to talk about all of these things. We really appreciate the listening. We really appreciate the tweet bag. We have gotten just tremendous responses lately. You can tweet at us at BYU_RiseShout. Facebook.com/RiseAndShout. Or as I mentioned before, you can do an email, RiseAndShoutPod@gmail.com. That's one word, RiseAndShoutPod@gmail.com. Matt, any parting thoughts?
Just ready for the Fighting Benjerongs.
Yeah, let's take down those Bearcats in the bowl game of jilted Big 12 non-invitees.
And I'm excited. I'm proud of you. You got through this entire podcast, this entire preview of the Cincinnati game, without once talking about how a bear and a cat mated.
They what?
I was trying to flip it on you so that you would correct me and say the other thing.
I
tried to bait you right into it.
I am never going to say again that a bear and a cat made it.
Oh, there he is. There it is.
I'll never say it. I'm above such petty jokes.
So you admit that you did say it.
I said mated.
No, I mean like back in the day the first time.
I said mated every time. You and Jeff and other listeners, you just need to really pay attention to my enunciation.
Or you need to just admit what you said. You were talking about how when a bear and a cat love each other very much.
Well, thank you guys for downloading and listening. As always, we appreciate your support, and we'll catch you next time.
Go Cougars!
Bear and a cat mated. And she's watching me with those eyes. And she's loving with that body. I just know it. And he's holding